by the witch doctors. I think they like the colour of my bile or something. I'm babbling. Get a grip. Guess there was enough concrete between you and me. Have they let you talk to, Hillary? Is the food okay? Food. He turns his head to look at the cannula in his arm. His skin is brown and ulcerated and seems to be hanging loose, patchy white flakes falling from the underlying reddish tissue.
Seem to be eating through a hose these days, Bob.
He closes his eyes.
Not seen Hillary. Shit, I'm tired. Feverish, too, some of the time.
His eyes open again.
You'll tell her?
Tell her what, Alan?
Just tell her.
The policewoman clears her throat behind me.
Yeah, I'll tell her, I say.
Alan doesn't give any sign of showing that he's heard me. He just nodded right off, like an 80-year-old on Valium. I open the envelope and put the card in it on his bedside table, where he'll see it when he wakes up. If. He always knew he'd die in his own bed.
Tell Hillary?
I turn and walk through the door, blind to the world. The cop follows me out, shutting it carefully.
Do you know who did that to him, Mr. Howard?
She asks quietly. I stop, clench my fists behind my back. Sort of, I say quietly.
They won't be doing it to anyone else, if that's what you're asking.
If you'll give me back my card now, I have to go into the office and make sure someone's told his wife where he is. I take it you'll let her in. She glances at the nurse.
Up to him.
She nods at me. Then some misplaced piece of Metropolitan Police customer relations training kicks in on autopilot. Have a nice day now. I check into the laundry via the back door. It's 3 in the afternoon, and a light rain is falling. Mild breeze from the southeast, cloud cover at 90%. A beautiful match for my mood. I head for my cubicle and find it unchanged from when I was last here, more than a week ago. There's a coffee cup containing some amazingly dead dregs, a pile of unread, unclassified memos, and a bunch of yellowing post-it notes saying, "See me," plastered all over my terminal and keyboard. I drop into the chair in front of the terminal and poke listlessly at the decaying hayrick of email that's cluttering up my user account. Oddly, there doesn't seem to be a lot from more than one day into the trip. That's kind of strange. I should be deluged with stupid nonsense from HR, requests for software upgrades from the losers in accounting, and peremptory reports for the GDP of Outer Mongolia in 1928 from Angleton. Well, not the latter. I kick back for a moment and stare at the ceiling. There are a couple of coffee-coloured stains up there, relics of who knows what mishap deep in the Precambrian era of laundry history. Rorschach-like, they call up the texture of Alan's skin. Brown, loose, looking burned from the inside out. I glance away. For a moment, even the fossil post-it notes are preferable to thinking about what I have to do next. Then the door opens.
Robert!
I look round. It's Harriet, and I know something's wrong because Bridget is lurking behind her, face a contemplative middle management mask, and she's clutching a bunch of blue-covered files.
Where have you been hiding? We've been looking for you for days.
I don't know if you're cleared, I respond wearily. I think I can see what's coming.
Would you please come with us?
Says Bridget, voicing the order as a request.
We have some things to talk about.
Harriet backs out of the cramped doorway, and I haul myself upright and let them march me down the corridor and up the stairs to a vacant conference room, all dusty pine veneer and dead flies trapped between perpetually closed Venetian blinds.
Have a seat.
There are 4 chairs at the table, and as I glance round, I notice that we seem to have picked up an escort. Eric, the ancient security officer, a dried-up prune of a former RAF sergeant whose job is to lock doors, confiscate papers left lying on unoccupied desks, and generally make a pestilential nuisance of himself, a sinecure for the irreformably officious. What's this about? I place both hands palm down on the table.
It's about several things, as a matter of fact, begins Harriet. Your controller and I have been worried for some months now about your timekeeping.
She plonks a thin blue file down on the table.
We note that you're seldom in the department before 10 a.m, and your observance of core hours falls short of the standard expected of an employee. Bridget picks up the tag-team prosecution. Now, we understand that you're used to working occasional off-shift hours, being called out on those odd occasions when there's a problem with one of the servers, but you haven't been filling out variance form R70 each time you've put in these hours, and without an audit trail, I'm afraid we can't automatically accept requests for time off in lieu. According to our records, you've been taking off an average of 2 unscheduled days per month, which could get us, your supervisors, into serious trouble if Audit Bureau were to get interested. Harriet clears her throat. Simply put, we can't cover for you anymore. In fact, Bridget is shaking her head. This latest escapade is unacceptable too. You've absented yourself from work for 5 consecutive working days without following either the approved sick leave of absence procedure or applying to your department head for a holiday variance or even compassionate leave. This sort of thing is not only antisocial. Think of the additional work you've made for everybody else who's been covering your absence. But it's a gross violation of procedures. She pronounces the last phrase with the sort of distaste usually reserved by the tabloid press for ministers caught soliciting on Hampstead Heath. We simply cannot overlook this. Harriet nods. And then there's what Eric found in your mailbox. By this time, my neck is aching as I try to keep my eyes on all 3 of them at the same time. What the hell's going on? Harriet and Bridget administering a procedural mugging is all very well, and I'm damned if I'll let them plant a written warning on my personnel file without an appeal. But Eric's the departmental security officer. What's he in here for?
Very bad indeed, young fellow,
he quavers. And now Bridget barely tries to conceal a triumphant, somewhat feral grin as she plants a raw printout of an email message on the tabletop. Subject, some notes toward a proof of polynomial completeness in Hamiltonian networks. My mind goes blank for a moment. Then I remember the black bag job, Croxley Industrial Estate, the hum of servers at midnight and security guards hiding under their desks, and my stomach goes icy cold.
What's this about? Asks Bridget.
I think you've got some explaining to do, opines Eric,